Words appear, based on a true story. Now the beam from a lighthouse sweeps through the night. Titles appear, starring Harry Hamlin as Jim Lansford and Annie Potts as Chris Lansford in Her Deadly Rival. At the edge of an expansive lawn, a wooden tree swing sways back and forth in the breeze. Nearby, a rambling two-story house sits in darkness. Titles continue. Lisa Zane as Lynn, Tommy Hinckley as Hunter, Susan Dial as Jean, Robert Treviler as Sonny, and Roma Mafia as Officer Caldwell. Music by George S. Clinton, edited by Michael Ornstein, production designer Woody Crocker, director of photography Michael E. Gershman. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH, described by Jan Stankus, Francis Mahoney, and Nicole Savickas, read by Wendy Sacchichini. For more about description, call DBS at 1-800-333-1203. Inside the house, Jim, a lean man with thick brown hair, sits up in bed.
Chris?
Jim gets up from the double bed. Wearing pajama bottoms, he walks downstairs and flicks on a light. Frowning, he goes to the front door, which stands open. Titles continue, produced by Judy Cairo, written by Dan Vining, directed by James Heyman. Jim glances toward the living room.
I want you to go.
Chris?
Let's ask him.
Please, go away!
Let him in, Chris.
Lauren? Chris!
Jim bangs on the living room door.
No!
Lauren?
Inside, a woman runs across the room.
Open the door!
Oh, please! Oh, my God! Yeah.
She falls and lies still, blood seeping from her left temple. Gaping, Jim kneels down beside the woman. He takes her in his muscular arms.
No,
holding her limp body tight against his lean chest, he buries his face in her hair. Now outside, a policeman stands next to Jim, who sits on the back of an ambulance staring at the ground.
She must have heard something.
Officer Caldwell walks out of the house.
Why didn't she wake me up?
Test him for powder burns.
Let's go.
Officer Caldwell, a lanky 40-ish woman with dark hair, wears street clothes.
You think I killed my wife?
They don't pay me to think.
She did it! You find her!
Get him out.
Find her!
Now.
Caldwell hands an evidence bag with a gun to a uniformed officer.
Have this.
Later in an interrogation room.
I used to live out there. Ferry Dock Road. Want some coffee? A man?
No, I don't want anything.
You know, I called your sister-in-law, Lynn. You two get along, you and your sister-in-law?
Yeah, Lynn and I got along all right.
You all lived in Cincinnati?
She sits down.
Were those good times for you too, you and Chris?
She was happy. I was happy. We were happy. We were married for 12 years.
Well, maybe we should do this tomorrow.
Officer Caldwell gets up and heads for the door.
Yeah, we were happy.
She stops and turns to face him.
You don't get it. I had everything I ever wanted.
Now, Jim cooks on a flaming barbecue grill in front of a cottage. An upstairs window opens. Chris, a petite woman with a heart-shaped face, leans out, wearing a towel wrapped around her. Her short auburn hair is wet and combed back.
Hi there, handsome. They'll be coming soon. Don't you need to come up and change?
I'll be right up, darling.
Smiling, she blows Jim a kiss. Looking up at her from the yard, he returns the kiss. Chris closes the window and gazes down warmly at him. At the bedroom mirror, she holds a pale green sundress against her body. She lays the dress on the bed and picks up a skimpy red slip dress with spaghetti straps. Jim walks in.
Do I get a vote?
I know what your vote would be.
I don't know. I think I'm going to like them both. Of course, you look pretty darn good, just like this.
I don't want to scare any of the guests.
Not a chance.
He kisses her.
Why don't you try the red one on? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jim turns to gaze out the window as Chris changes into the dress. Chris steps out from behind a dressing curtain. The scalloped hem of a red mini dress brushes her thighs.
This isn't me.
He turns around.
Uh-huh, I like it. Come here, take a look.
He leads her to the mirror.
I don't know.
Oh, I do.
Standing behind Chris, Jim plants kisses on her bare shoulder.
Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Jim.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot start this right now. Because people are going to start showing up any minute now.
We'll sell tickets.
He turns her around and their lips meet in a kiss. He unzips her dress. His hands caress her bare back. Later, they cuddle in bed, their clothes strewn over the covers and their fingers intertwining.
You're worried about something, aren't you?
There's a problem with this job in North Carolina. They want me out there now.
Now?
Yesterday. Somebody quit on them. Hunter called me this afternoon.
I still have 2 more weeks left of teaching. It'll take me at least another month to get things settled up here.
No, that's the problem.
You want to go on ahead?
Well, what am I supposed to do? They're calling the shots in Southport. Am I supposed to walk away from this job over this?
Be the first time we've ever been apart.
Her fingertips gently brush his face.
I know it'll be hard, but it won't be for very long.
I want to be with you.
Me too.
Chris settles into Jim's arms.
Maybe I should just blow it off. I can call them up and tell them I'd be out there when I said I'd be. You know, what are they going to do?
No. It's a great opportunity. Just do what we have to do.
Be fine.
Now they host a barbecue.
We're crouched down, holding our breath, trying not to move muscle. But all of a sudden, the bear catches our scent and starts to pour us.
Yeah, which is real hard because we haven't had a bath in 4 days, right?
Can I finish this thing or you want to tell it?
No, go ahead.
In the 12 years we've been married, we have never been apart a single night.
We haven't been apart a single day, and I can't believe he still takes his lunch to work every day.
I miss him.
You're sick.
You're jealous.
Maybe. But, you know, a little time apart might be fun.
Lynn gazes across the yard at her husband.
I could ditch old Sonny for a minute, and you and I could go out.
I want to hear the end of the story. Get out of there.
I didn't have that run to Bear. I just had that run Sonny here. Hey, Darl, where you been?
Just talking to Lynn.
I miss you already. So, anybody hungry?
Oh,
yeah,
I am.
Got some grub.
Now Jim packs his SUV.
Okay, that's everything.
Chris hangs her head.
Hey.
Jim wraps his arms around her.
You know, I was thinking about when we built this place. I'd get off work, come out here, hammer on it till it was too dark to see. You'd finish up at school, cook dinner for us out here on the sidewalk. Remember that? Somehow I get you to carry all those boards.
When I think of those days, I don't see anybody else but us.
Me too.
Chris fights back tears. Jim gazes into her eyes and they kiss. He gently kisses her face and they hug.
You better go. It's a long trip. Go on.
I better go.
She clings to him as he kisses her on the head.
You go on back inside now and catch cold. Go on.
Jim walks away. Chris folds her arms and watches him go, tears welling in her eyes. As he buckles his seatbelt, Chris looks in through the window glass. Her lips form the words, "Drive safe." Jim nods. As he drives away, her wistful smile fades. Chris gazes after him, hugging herself, her face tearful. Wearing bedroom slippers and Jim's checkered shirt over a white knee-length nightgown, she takes slow steps back toward the cottage. Chris walks beneath an arched rose arbor and into the yard, which is bordered by trees and a white picket fence. She closes the gate behind her. Now Jim drives his Ford Explorer down a country road. As he crosses a bridge, a low sun casts a red glow on city buildings clustered along a waterfront. Daytime. At a construction site, Jim walks with Hunter, a 40-ish muscular man wearing jeans, a work shirt, and a hard hat.
Hey, Jim, it's good to see you again. Now look, there's somebody else I want you to meet. The on-site design engineer. Hey, Gene! This is Jim Lansford, Gene Reynolds.
How you doing?
Hunter told me all about the job you did in Ohio. He says you're real good.
Good? I paid him to say I was the best.
I guess we'll have to see about that, won't we?
Smiling at him, she hands him a hard hat.
See you, buddy.
So long. So, bring me up to speed.
Now, in a smoky barroom, Jim plays liar's poker with Connie, the bartender.
Yo, Connie, we need some more long necks over here.
Sure, honey.
All right. Pair of eights.
Three fives.
Jim throws down his dollar bill.
Hey! Welcome to Southport.
Hunter waves to Jim.
Hey, Jimbo, come over here. I want you to meet someone.
A brunette sitting at the bar glances up from her book. Her gaze follows Jim.
Jim? Meet Wrong Way Jack. He's one hell of a welder. Jim Lansford.
Good to meet you. Wrong Way Jack. There's got to be a story behind that name.
Well, there is. You don't want to hear about it.
I was afraid you'd be sitting all alone in your motel room. So far from home.
At the pool table, Gene sinks a ball.
Well, I probably should be. I mean, 5 o'clock's gonna come up awful fast.
How's your aim after a couple of drinks?
Gene shoots a ball into a corner pocket.
Whew. I don't know. Guess we're gonna find out, huh?
Wrong Way Jack hands Jim a cue stick. Later, a customer stumbles into the brunette at the bar.
Oh, easy now, Dad.
Thanks.
Well, somebody better call him a cab. Connie, come around.
He eyes her book.
Well, I read a book once, but it wasn't,
Proust.
Yeah, I knew that. What's it about?
It's about a man who can't have what he wants.
Well, maybe I have read that.
Night, Con. Night. Excuse me.
Well, pleasure.
Jim watches the brunette, Ellie, as she walks away.
So, what's the damage?
She paid for him.
What?
You make a friend?
I make friends everywhere I go. You know that, huh? Here, have another one.
No, we're going to roll on out of here. I can't do this like the old days. Hope you don't get too lonely tonight. Night, Connie.
See you. All right. One more time.
Jim and Connie read numbers off their dollar bills.
There are twos.
Full house. Nines over eights.
Jim throws down his dollar.
Well, liar's poker never was my game.
He downs a shot of whiskey.
Why don't you hand those out to the needy, huh?
Sure.
Connie watches Jim go.
Later.
Her long blonde hair brushes her shoulders. Now Jim opens the door to his motel room. Inside, he throws his keys on a table. He grabs a handful of ice from a bucket and presses the ice against his stomach. He goes to the window and turns on the air conditioner. Standing in the breeze, Jim rubs the ice over his face and neck. He drops the ice into a drinking glass and sits down on the bed.
Hello?
Do you believe in love at first sight? I do. When I first saw you, I thought, he looks nice. I want a nice guy.
Who is this?
Just someone very attracted to you.
Girl at the bar?
You don't remember me. I'm hurt.
Hunter put you up to this, didn't he?
Oh, we should get to know each other. I mean, I could sit back and hope you'd come to me, but why? We're both grown up.
What's your name, darling?
Why?
Well, I'd like to know who I'm talking to.
Well, I think it's more interesting this way.
Well, I'd really like to help you out, and I'm really flattered, but, I'm a married man.
Oh, that's what they all say. Except for the ones who tell you their wives just don't understand them. And usually by then you're in some fabulous hotel suite. Look, I just wanted to say welcome to Southport, one way or another.
Uh-huh. Mm. And what's that supposed to mean?
Well, have you driven out to the lighthouse yet? I mean, you have that, that Jeep-looking thing, right?
It's an Explorer.
Well, aren't we all? So maybe I'll see you sometime.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say hey to Hunter, okay?
Jim hangs up. He eyes a phone book labeled Southport. Daytime. At the worksite, Hunter peers through a surveyor's transit, a small telescope mounted on a tripod.
How's it going?
I'll be finished up here as soon as I shoot the line up the berth free. Yeah. It's all looking straight as an arrow. Right there.
A young woman walks up carrying a flower bouquet.
Hey, which one of you guys is Jim Lansford?
That'd be me. What's this?
Enjoy.
Hunter reads the card.
Last night was beautiful. Hell. Man, you gotta tell me your secret, bud. No lady ever sent me flowers.
That's very funny. Hope you got your money's worth.
Me?
Jim hands the bouquet to Hunter.
What the hell are you talking about?
Gene watches them.
Hey, these need water.
Get out.
I'm not kidding, Chip.
Now in Jim's motel room.
Hello?
I often dream strange, penetrating dreams of one whom I adore and who loves me.
Tell Hunter it isn't funny anymore.
No, it's not Hunter. It's a French poet. So did you get the flowers?
Yeah, this is turning into an awful expensive gag, isn't it?
I know. Is that what this is? I'm having a good time.
Well, like I said, I'm a happily married man.
Oh, please. I mean, nobody's that happily married.
All right. I'll play along with you. What do? You work or you go to school?
Well, do I sound like a schoolgirl to you?
All right, so you work. What do?
A woman's hand flicks a lighter and lights a cigarette.
You still there?
Sorry, I was getting a cigarette.
Oh, those things will kill you.
Thank you for caring.
So, what's your name?
Well, it wasn't so important the other night now, was it?
Come on, tell me your name.
She trails a perfume wand over her cleavage.
Lauren.
Look, there. I gotta go.
Buttoning his shirt, Jim walks to the door and opens it. He stumbles over a gift box at his feet. He picks it up and looks around. He carries the box over to the phone.
Open it.
Jim sits down on the bed and takes the lid off the box. He unfolds the white tissue paper inside and lifts out a black satin shirt. Lauren runs a strand of pearls over her cleavage.
15½, 34. Did I get it right?
Close enough.
Put it on. Pretend I'm there with you. But it's me. My fingertips. Unbuttoning your shirt.
Wait a minute, look. This is getting a little weird for me. I don't want to hurt your feelings, darling, but, don't call me anymore. And don't send me any more gifts, all right? Look, seriously,
hey.
What I...
It's me.
Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Your line's been busy.
Oh, yeah, I was just talking to...
Who did you think I was?
Nobody. I was just talking to some from work, that's all. So, how are things going?
Good. Uh-huh. It's been raining here.
Oh.
If you had nothing to hide, why didn't you tell her about the calls?
In the interrogation room.
What would be the point?
Well, you hadn't done anything wrong. You felt a little threatened. You'd been married to the woman for 12 years. Why not share it with her if it was such a problem for you?
Well, you've got a real attitude about me, don't you?
Well, I'm from New York. It comes with a package.
You want to arrest me? Why don't you just go ahead and do it? Because I could shut up right now and just not say another word.
Maybe you should.
Sitting at the table with her arms folded, Officer Caldwell glares at Jim, who leans against a wall.
More flowers started coming almost every day. Each one was some crazy card, like...
What a great time we'd had the night before, how she couldn't live without me. I knew by then it wasn't right. You know, I knew that she wasn't right.
Now in the barroom, Jim sits in a booth alone. At the bar, Connie lights Ellie's cigarette.
You see, your friend is here again. Mine.
As Jim stares at the two women, a waiter brings him a drink.
There you go, man.
Thanks.
The waiter sets down a coaster with handwriting on it.
Hey, Rick.
Jim stares at the coaster.
Yeah.
Where'd this come from?
I don't know, but Connie gave it to me. You want me to ask her?
No, it's all right.
Rick walks away. At the bar, Ellie's chair is empty. Connie chats with another customer. Jim glances around, then reads the message on the coaster. Don't stay out too late. Later, Jim walks up to the door of his motel room. It's cracked open. He pushes the door open wide and gazes into the dark room. A woman sits on the bed, her face in shadow. She wears a negligee.
Hi.
Frowning, Jim stares at her from the doorway. The woman leans forward into the light. It's Chris.
Well, what's the matter?
What are you doing here?
Well, that's a fine hello.
Well, you scared me, that's all. I mean, come on, what happened? How come you're here?
I couldn't be there one more minute without you. I just couldn't. I did everything I could, and then I just...
Jim covers Chris's face with kisses.
Lennon, Sonny.
I missed you so much.
I missed you.
Holding each other, they sink onto the bed.
Oh, you did miss me.
Now, sunshine streams through the motel window. Buttoning a red and white sundress, Chris walks over to the bed and sits on the edge. She slides her bare feet into sandals and reaches down to adjust the straps. She finds a gift envelope on the floor. She picks it up, then pulls out the card and reads it. It's never been like this before. Love, L. Tightening her mouth, Chris slowly slides the card back into the envelope. Fade to black. Now in a diner.
See ya, Billy.
Yeah, how you doing?
Chris sits at a table. A waitress waves as Jim walks in.
Morning, Wanda.
Ah.
Jim joins Chris.
Well, try the French toast. It's really good here.
Chris holds up the gift card.
What is this, Jim? I found it in the room.
It doesn't have your name on it. Maybe it was from before for somebody else.
No, it's not. I should have told you about this on the phone. Got a secret admirer.
Oh, yeah?
Water up, Wanda. I should use some coffee.
Well, what's going on?
Well, you remember the first night you called and I sounded kind of weird and you picked up on it?
She nods, gaping.
Well, earlier that night, this girl, I guess, like a woman, she called me. She didn't say who she was, but she said she liked me and she wanted to, have me meet her somewhere.
Who was she?
I told you, I don't know.
Well, you must have met her, talked to her, something.
I talked to a lot of people, Chris. You know me, but I mean, I wasn't trying to pick up on anybody or anything.
She sent you flowers?
A couple of times. And once to work. I thought it was Hunter, and the guys just kind of placed some kind of joke on me, but... I mean, he swears it's not him.
The card says it's never been like this.
I know what the card says, but it's just some kind of fantasy she's got going.
Two over-easy ham, fried toast, and some rocket fuel. I told my friend Sherry the story about that garage door opener. You told me she got cracked up.
Chris' eyes Wanda.
Hi, I'm
Chris. Oh, I am Wanda. You are even prettier than Jim said you were. He just raves about you. In fact, that's about all he talks about. So what you having, honey?
Chris smiles at Jim.
French toast. Orange juice.
You got it.
So you have no idea who she is?
I don't have a clue.
You know, you're lucky I trust you.
They share a playful smile.
I am a lucky guy. Look, I told her to leave me alone. It's gonna be okay.
He rips up the card. Now at the worksite, Jim clips a pager to his belt. Hunter hands him a clipboard.
Hey, you're late.
I know.
I covered for you, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Well, Jim, how's the girlfriend?
Chris came in last night.
Chris? The wife.
Oh, you're going to have to cool it now.
Jack here thinks it's Connie the bartender over times.
Look, guys, don't say anything in front of Chris, all right? I mean, you know how it is.
Not me. I'm not married, remember? How about you, Longway?
I'm married, but I'm not very sensitive. At least that's what my wife said.
Look, seriously, Chris is real possessive. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I like it that way. But what might be funny to us just won't be funny to her. So just don't say anything, all right?
The guys nod.
You guys swear you're not putting somebody up to this?
Scout's honor.
They raise their right hands in the Boy Scout sign.
All right.
Jim walks away. Hunter turns to Wrongway Jack.
You a Boy Scout?
No.
Me either.
At the motel, Chris listens to a tape.
I kept thinking of you all day today. How hot the other night was. Your hands moving across me. Oh, your hands. That's what I'm thinking of right now. Oh, it's still so hot, Jim. Let's do it again. Real soon.
Now the guys eat lunch.
Potassium benzoate. I'm not drinking this.
A taxi drives up and stops. Jim sets down his lunch and hurries over.
Is that her?
The wife.
It's just not fair.
What's going on?
I've got a surprise for you.
Now Chris and Jim stand in the expansive yard of a rambling two-story waterfront home.
What do you think?
Ah, that's amazing. Is it for rent?
Not anymore. I put a deposit down this morning.
Frowning, Jim turns away.
What?
I don't know. I kind of thought we'd look for a place together, that's all.
Jim, I just had to get out of that motel room. I wanted to find someplace
Chris,
new for
Chris,
us, someplace
nothing,
clean.
Nothing happened in that motel room. Nothing happened.
I believe that. I believe you.
Chris kisses her fingertips and presses them against Jim's lips.
Forget it. Forget it. I want to talk about it. Come on.
They walk to the door hand in hand.
I can't wait for you to see the inside. Open.
Wait a minute. Let's do this right, huh?
I love you. Mm-hmm.
Jim carries her over the threshold.
Isn't it great? Isn't our furniture going to look great? And you put me down. Ooh, you put your reading chair right here just like it was at home. I really think we need a new coffee table, though. And look, do you see in here? The dining room? It's got a fireplace and everything. Come here, but this is the best. This is all yours. This is your study. What do you think? Huh?
Right.
I called the movers already. They're coming. Come on, I want to show you upstairs.
This is incredible. Do I want to know how much it is?
We can afford it. Come here. This is our room. Where do you see the view?
As they kiss, they push open the bedroom door, revealing a lavish display of red roses inside.
Oh boy, you really haven't been yourself.
Chris's smile fades to a frown as she stares at the bouquets of roses.
This is not funny anymore.
Chris?
Chris runs out of the house. Jim follows.
It was never funny. You think I like this?
She had a stereo delivered to the motel this morning. It's like a tape in it, a letter. It went on and on about last night.
I keep telling you she's nuts.
She's following us now. She's following me. Just tell me the truth. Tell me the truth so I can deal with this.
Later, Jim walks into a flower shop. A clerk comes out.
May I help you?
I'm Jim Lansford.
Oh, hi.
He drops cards on the desk.
You didn't like the roses?
No, the roses were fine. I just want to know who sent them.
She said you'd be in.
The florist walks over with an arrangement.
She wishes to remain a secret admirer for now.
Yeah, we get that sometimes.
And we never tell.
Listen, this is hurting me.
The clerk glances up at Jim.
Now, I think I know who she is, but I'm not sure, and, can you please tell me?
The florist grins.
Well, does she come in here? Can you tell me that?
Sometimes. Usually she calls.
What does she look like?
Oh, don't tell him anymore. It'll ruin it. We're not going to say anymore. She's our best customer.
Yeah, I'll bet she is.
Jim walks away. The florist folds her arms and stares after him.
I think it's romantic.
Now at a dry cleaner's, Chris pays a bill.
$19.20. Thank you.
Thank you.
She puts her money away as Jean walks in, nearly bumping into her.
Hi. We haven't met. Not really met. I'm Jean. I work with Jim. I'm an engineer on the job. I've seen you come pick him up and all.
Oh, hi. No work for you today?
No, we're all off for today. There's some labor problem. A one-day stoppage. They told us all to stay home.
Jim didn't say anything.
Well, maybe he had to go in anyway. I thought it was everybody, but...
Chris forces a smile.
Well, I should be going. It's very nice to meet you.
You too. Hey, you know, I told Jim we should all get together sometime.
What do you mean?
Double date?
Oh, great. I'll remind him. Bye.
Chris leaves. Jean eyes her with a puzzled expression. Now, at the new house, Chris walks onto the front porch, wiping her hands on a dish towel. A shiny red vintage convertible sits out front. Jim comes up beside her.
You like it? It's yours.
Is that why you weren't at work, kitten?
What do you mean?
She steps over to the car.
This must have cost a fortune.
Oh, you gotta have a car. I got a great deal on it.
Is this what you want? This how you see me?
Well, it's only a car, Chris. If you don't like it, I can take it back.
Sorry, I just... don't see myself in a sports car.
Yeah, well... this is not just any sports car, darling.
He opens the door and she slides behind the wheel.
This here is a 1956 T-Bird. Mm. And it's got your name written all over it.
He hands her the keys. They take off down the road in the Thunderbird, speeding past the marshy land around them. Chris grins as she drives.
Have you been holding out on me?
Now at home, Jim walks in the front door as movers carry in furniture.
Looks like we got our work cut out for us, huh?
A technician installs a phone.
Hey, how'd you manage this? I thought there was a 3-week wait for the phone.
Somebody took care of it, and it wasn't me. And somebody paid the bill, and somebody ordered 2 lines, including a private line for your office.
Must be the company.
And they paid the bill, too. She also sent a bottle of your favorite brandy and 2 crystal glasses tied together with a pink ribbon with a note that says, "Here's to us. We've almost made it." Oh, and there's a little something else.
She grabs an envelope.
2 first-class tickets to Paris.
She throws the tickets at him, then stalks out. Jim stops the technician as he heads toward the door.
Hey, wait a minute. I want to know who set this thing up. I want a name.
Look, they just sent me out here and told me to turn the thing on. Now, whatever else is going on is your problem.
Jim shifts uneasily and looks away.
I'm sorry. Sure.
In the kitchen, Chris pours the brandy down the drain.
I swear I haven't done anything. I swear. I'd never do anything to hurt you. We got to deal with this thing, Chris. Together.
No, Jim. You've got to deal with this.
Later, Jim walks into Tiny's bar. He strides over to Ellie, who sits at the bar smoking a cigarette.
This is going to stop right now. You're going to leave me and Chris alone.
What are you talking about?
What do you want from me?
I hadn't given it much thought.
Now, I'm not playing your little games anymore.
Jim leaves. Ellie turns to Connie, the bartender.
What happened to all that charm?
Fade to black. Now, at the construction site, Hunter walks with Jim, who carries a set of blueprints.
Hey, those anchor bolts come in?
Jim slaps his leg with the rolled-up plans.
You didn't order them?
Oh, I'm going crazy.
Well, there's 2 kinds of crazy. There's employed crazy, and there's unemployed crazy. I've been both. Employed's better.
All right, I'll call him in.
Well, don't worry about it. It'll be fine.
They go into the office.
Hey, I heard you got out of line at Tiny's last night.
I just don't know what to do, man.
Well, what you can't do, Jim, is run around accusing people. I mean, someone's going to get pissed. Let the cops handle it.
Cops said they wouldn't do anything until she did something first.
Great. But I'm telling you, it's not Ellie.
Well, who else could it be?
He finished with the modifications to Berth 8.
Jim gazes at Jean.
Yeah. Yeah, they're right here.
She takes the plans from Jim. Hunter smirks behind her back.
You're going over to the office at the end of the day, right?
Uh-huh.
I've got some change orders they need, and I have to wait here for the inspector. Would you...
Would he... what?
One thing about you, Hunter, you never let work get in the way of your sexual fantasies.
Hunter grins.
Sure, just leave me by the door.
Great.
She walks past Hunter's desk.
Like your shirt.
She wants me.
Jim shakes his head. Later, a security guard waves to Jim as he leaves the construction site in his SUV. He picks up the car phone.
Okay, what did I forget?
Well, to say thank you for the brandy, for one thing.
How'd you get this number?
You keep underestimating me, darling.
Let me see.
You got your hair cut yesterday. And right now you're wearing a blue shirt and khaki pants.
Jim pulls over to the side of the road.
You can't do this. You can't follow me.
Sure I can, sweetie. Lovers follow each other all the time. Look in the back seat.
Jim finds a silk shirt and a white rose.
Do you like it?
Who are you? Why are you doing this?
Are you going home to your boring little wife?
You listen to me. You leave us alone.
Jim slams the phone down. He grabs the present and throws it, then peels out, leaving the shirt and rose by the side of the road. Now at the house, Chris gets out of the convertible. She wears capri-cut jeans and a long summery blouse. On the front step, she finds a heart-shaped box with an elaborate gold bow. Standing over the present, she looks around uneasily. She picks up the box and slowly steps to the front door. She unlocks the door and steps inside. Pausing in the hall, she stares down at the gift box in her hand. Chris goes into the living room and sits down on the couch, her purse still slung over her shoulder. She rests the box on the coffee table and slips her arm out of the purse strap. With her hands in her lap, she raises her head and takes a deep breath, then stares down at the box. Slowly, Chris lifts the lid off the box. A handwritten note lies inside. She takes it out. It reads, "Bring it with you. Same place as always. Lauren." Chris purses her lips and turns to the box again. Spreading apart the tissue paper wrapping, she takes out a blue satin negligee. She holds it gingerly in the tips of her fingers. Startled, Chris drops the negligee and hurries into Jim's study. She picks up the receiver and quickly slams it back down. Later, in their bedroom, a dull light filters through gauzy curtains as Chris stands in front of a mirror, holding her bathrobe closed. She opens it suddenly and lets it slip from her shoulders. Wearing the blue satin negligee, she looks at her reflection. She turns to the side, then peers over her shoulder. Her lips tremble and tears well in her eyes as she puts a hand to her chest. Wearing a summer dress, she turns as Jim walks in.
Whoa. Well, this is a nice surprise.
I thought we could use some more of those nice surprises.
She opens her dress, revealing the negligee.
Hey, what are you doing?
She pulls Jim closer.
I want
you. Hey, Chris.
Now.
She kisses him.
Hey.
I want to feel you.
Hey, Chris,
touch
me. Like you.
She backs him against the window, slipping out of her dress.
Hey, stop it.
She grabs him around the neck and
stop
kisses
it,
him harder.
Stop it. I don't like it.
He pushes her away. She glares at him.
I'd like it if she had it on.
She goes into the kitchen.
What happened today? Tell me.
She's trying to buy you. That's what she's doing.
What are you talking about?
She's sophisticated. She has money. She's used to getting whatever she wants, whenever she wants it. And she wants you.
Chris, listen to me. I am not for sale. I have the woman I want. You. Not some new version of you. She could have $1 million. She could look like...
Chris glances up at him.
I don't want her, Chris. I want you. That's the way it's always been. We're not getting any more stuff. She's not calling anymore. It's over. You can forget about it.
She stares coldly and brushes his hands from her shoulders.
You talked to her today. I saw it the minute you came in the door.
She buttons up her dress.
I don't know what to do. I keep telling her not to call. She keeps calling.
Then why did you lie?
Because you don't believe the truth. Let it ring. Let it ring, Chris. Chris!
She runs up the stairs. Now the Southport Lighthouse beacon sweeps through the night. A downpour begins while Jim sits in his study at home. He picks up the phone on his desk.
I'm sorry about this afternoon. I shouldn't have talked that way. I don't know why I act like I do sometimes. Forgive me?
Well, maybe you've got a big problem. Maybe you ought to see somebody about it.
I just want us to be together again, that's all.
Well, that's not going to happen. How many times do I have to tell you that?
Well, I just want it to be like it used to be. I miss you. I need to be with you again to feel you.
I just want you so badly sometimes that I do crazy things.
Jim paces as he holds the phone to his ear.
Say something, Jim.
I'm going to hang up now.
No. No, you're my only chance. I'm all alone except for you.
It's never been like this before. You do understand that, don't you? I mean, if we couldn't be together eventually, I don't know what I'd do, Jim.
No, don't say that. Don't talk like that.
In the bedroom, Chris sits up with the covers over her legs. The phone lies next to her with the receiver off the hook. Jim comes into the room.
You were listening.
Leaving the phone off the hook, she slowly turns away from him. She lays her head down on the pillow and stares off. The shadows cast by the rain hitting the window creep across her face. Jim walks out. Fade to black.
There's no sign of forced entry anywhere, so if a third party came in and killed her,
somebody let him in.
Yeah, what about that outside window? Any footprints?
But nothing to get excited about. I mean, you know it's grass. I mean, somebody could have come and gone.
Did we
way.
Get powder residue tests on him yet?
No. The wife has a visible blow burn on her hand, probably from fighting him off or her or whatever.
At the police station.
It could have been suicide. Why is the room all torn to hell?
It wasn't suicide. Have you ever heard of a right-handed person shooting himself in the left temple? Come on.
Officer Caldwell walks into the interrogation room. The uniformed officer watches through the window as she sits down with Jim.
So, she listened upstairs when the call came in.
Jim keeps his hands folded in front of him.
Yeah, I was never the same after that, after she heard me talking to her. Guess it meant it real to her. Sorry, plenty real to me.
Why did you talk to her? Why didn't you just hang up?
She sounded real down, like she was going to do something to herself.
So? That would have been the perfect solution to your problem. She goes away, you patch up your marriage, or whatever.
You don't know me. Oh, you think you have some idea about who I am or what happened, but you're wrong.
You told your wife that you had no idea who Lauren was. But that was a lie, wasn't it?
I thought I did. I guess I was wrong. I don't know.
Jim gets up from the table and paces around the room.
And then Chris's sister Lynn and Sonny came to visit. Didn't matter much what I thought after that. Things got worse real fast. Pretty soon it was two against one.
At the house, Sonny fishes from the pier.
Now get much better than this!
So predictable.
Lynn walks over to Chris in the yard.
That can be a good thing.
Lynn sits down next to her on a tree swing.
That girl still around? Yeah. It's getting worse. It's scary. I feel bad being so hard on Jim. I know he's tried to reason with her.
What the police say?
Oh, they can't do anything because she breaks the law or something.
Well, don't you worry about anything. I'm here now. I'm going to find her. I'll string her up myself.
Promise me you won't get mixed up in this.
I'm not going to promise any such thing.
You and I have survived this life by sticking together. So consider me stuck.
Sonny! Don't come in here till you can put something on the table.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it great?
Lynn rolls her eyes. Later, she and Chris walk toward the house.
Well, I really think that Jim is a victim here, too. I do believe that.
You really don't see this, do you?
I don't know what you're talking about. Honey, he's having an affair. This isn't some woman with a fantasy in her head. Sometimes things are just what they seem like, Chris, and this is one of those times.
I like Jim. I always have. But there is such a thing as having too much faith in somebody.
No, there's not. Not when it's the right person.
Let me ask you something. Would you act like this if a guy told you direct, I mean straight out, that you didn't have a chance with him?
I don't know. I'm not her.
I'm just worried about you.
Later, Lynn and Chris start a fire in the grill as Jim comes home.
Be careful, girls. You're going to burn the house down.
Jim, come to the rescue. What would we do without him, huh, Chris?
Lynn, how you been?
I've missed my sister.
Yeah, I'd give you a hug, but I'm real filthy. I owe you one.
I'll remember.
He tries to kiss Chris.
You can owe me one, too.
She moves away.
So, where's Sonny?
Oh, he's down there cleaning the fish he caught.
Boy, he doesn't waste any time, does he? I haven't caught a thing yet.
Not what I hear.
Jim looks at Chris, who tends the grill.
You know, I think I'm going to go inside and clean up a little bit.
He walks away, and Chris flashes Lynn a look.
All right.
Chris stands with her hand on her hip. Later, they all sit around the dining room table eating.
So you going to buy a boat?
Well, I got my eye on this little day sailor.
Sonny nods.
Tell you, I can get used to this life. Even this heat. Yeah, I'd say you pretty much got it all, Jim.
You're another half of it.
Half of what?
Chris scowls at Jim, then lowers her eyes.
Tell him, Chris.
Jim stares at his wife.
Next time she calls, I want you to tell her that you want to meet her somewhere. And I want to be there to see you tell her that it's over.
We'll talk about this later, please.
We're family.
Jim shoots Lynn a look. Sonny goes back to his food.
Yes, he'd probably get to me.
Sonny.
What did I do?
This is your idea, wasn't it, Lynn?
As a matter of fact. No, it was my idea.
Chris and Jim stare at each other. Sonny swallows and glances around.
Does anybody else want a beer?
Fine. Oh, that's a super plan. Next time she calls, I'll tell her. Well, it'll probably just make things 10 times worse, but what the hell? At least we did something.
Jim throws down his napkin, then gets up and stomps out. Nighttime. Jim sits alone at the end of the pier under an orange street lamp. Sonny walks up. In the distance, a boat moves across the dark water. Sonny claps Jim on the shoulder and sits down next to him.
Hey, don't jump. It's not worth it. I guess you and I should have gone out to dinner, huh?
I just want to strangle something, you know what I mean?
Sonny nods and looks out at the water.
So what's going on with you and this woman?
Jim glares at him.
Nothing.
Well, it might be nothing to you, but it's a big something to them. I never seen Chris act like this. Now Lynn's not talking to me. I hate that.
I'm telling you, man, it's nothing. I've never met this woman.
From the house, Chris watches Jim and Sonny sitting at the end of the pier. She turns away, her hand held over her mouth thoughtfully. Now the sun rises behind the house. Inside, Chris follows Lynn into Jim's study. Lynn carries a plastic bag.
I don't know, Lynn. Just trust me. Girlfriend of mine back home did this.
She dumps out a tape recorder.
Just stick it right under his desk. It's voice activated. Hooks it up to the phone. He'll never know. I don't need this.
You do need this. You need hard evidence when you divorce him.
It is not going to come to that.
Well, honey, it might.
Chris paces anxiously.
I don't know, Lynn. I don't like it. Just feels dishonest.
Oh, you want to talk about dishonest?
What if he is telling the truth?
I hope you're right. Tape?
Lynn puts a tape into the handheld recorder.
Look, if you want to think of it a different way, what you're doing is getting evidence together so you can confront Jim, so he can come clean and you two can fix things.
She plugs a cord into the recorder.
That's what you really want.
Lynn places the recorder under Jim's desk. Nighttime. Chris reads on the couch as Jim walks in the door.
It's blowing out there. Where'd Lynn and Sonny go?
Sonny went to take a drive into Wilmington for the movies.
Jim takes off his jacket and steps toward her.
Is it a long movie?
He sits down next to her on the couch and stares into her eyes. Jim leans toward her and they kiss. As he puts his arms around her, the lights go out.
timing.
A pale blue light slants through the window behind them as they kiss. Jim wraps his arms around Chris and holds her tightly.
I love you. I just love you.
The lights come back on. Chris pushes him away and gets up.
Can't do this.
Chris.
I gotta get out. I need some time.
Chris? Hey!
She leaves the room. Jim watches through the window as Chris runs across the lawn. He turns away and slumps down on the couch. Now in his study, Jim crumples a sketch and tosses it to the floor. He walks over to the desk and answers the phone.
Hello?
Miss me?
I was waiting for you to call.
Really? I went to New York for the weekend. You know, get a little culture. We should go there together. I just looked out at the lights, took a walk in the park.
Under the desk, the tape recorder records their conversation.
I've come to some conclusions.
Lauren takes a drag on a cigarette, dark red lipstick on her full lips.
Chris has to go.
Jim takes a deep breath.
Look, maybe we should meet somewhere.
I've been patient. No one can accuse me of not being patient. But you haven't done what you said you'd do, Jim. You haven't left her.
Jim stares down, his brow furrowed.
Afraid she's listening in? I saw her again the other day. Chris. She didn't have a clue. She's such a little mouse.
Will you meet me or not?
Sounds serious. What brought this on?
I just want to talk.
Okay.
Where do you want to meet, Jim? Or do you want me to pick?
She stamps out her cigarette in an ashtray. Later, Jim sits on the couch, a sport coat draped over one arm. He looks up as Chris walks in.
She called. I'm supposed to meet her at the Riverwoods Inn at 9.
Is that your idea or hers?
Listen, I'm just trying to do what you want. None of this is my idea. You held up the hoop, I jumped through it.
Go on ahead, I'll drive my car.
Why?
She's watching every move we make. I don't want to scare her off.
Frowning, Chris turns and walks away. Jim stares after her, then looks down at his jacket and puts it on. Now at the restaurant, the crystal pendants of a chandelier sway as a waiter carries a drink over to Jim, who sits alone at a table. Jim finishes the drink in his hand while the waiter sets down another.
Another old-fashioned, sir?
Thanks.
Jim hands his empty glass to the waiter, then checks his watch. His hands fidget nervously as he stares at the door. Chris walks in, wearing her red slip dress. Jim looks up at her and catches her eye. He raises his eyebrows with a nod. Chris looks around, then steps hesitantly toward the bar. Jim sighs deeply. Chris stares at the floor as she walks. She takes a seat at the bar, casting a quick glance back at Jim, who shakes his head and shrugs. The bartender greets Chris with a smile.
Good evening.
Club soda, please.
Stroking her hair anxiously, Chris looks over her shoulder. Her eyes dart as a waiter walks past. Later, Jim tears the matches from a matchbook and finishes his drink.
Sir, would you like to order?
No, thank you.
A woman walks over.
Hi.
Jim looks up, frowning.
Jean?
She stands across from him, wearing a short white dress. At the bar, Chris glares. Jim slowly gets to his feet. Jean turns toward Chris. Scowling, Chris stands up from her seat and strides away.
Listen, Jean, you gotta tell me what's going on.
Hey, Jean.
A man walks over.
Oh, hi.
Jean gives the man a kiss. Chris storms out of the restaurant as Jim gapes.
Jim, this is my boyfriend, Bill.
Oh, excuse me, I gotta go.
Sure.
What was all that about?
Don't ask me, I'm single, remember?
Outside, Chris backs up her car. Jim comes running up.
Hold on, Chris! Hey, Chris. Hey, it's not Jean. Her boyfriend was in there.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see him.
That's because you left.
Well, if it's not Jean, who is it? Where is she? We've been here an hour.
I don't know.
You tipped her off.
I'm not going to stay here and be made a fool of.
Chris!
Her convertible kicks up dust as she speeds away. Later, Chris sits in her car in the driveway and Jim pulls up behind her. Chris gets out and walks toward the house. Jim hurries up to her.
Look, I'm sorry. She said she'd be there at 9 o'clock.
Leave me alone. I'm going to bed.
Wait a minute.
No.
Wait a minute.
The front door is ajar.
Did you leave the door open?
No.
Wait here.
Jim pushes the door wide open and slowly steps inside. Tilting his head, he peeks around the corner to the living room. Jim walks into the kitchen and looks around, then steps back toward the hall. He stops and reaches up to the top of an armoire, then pulls out a pistol. Jim walks back to the front hall where Chris stands at the foot of the stairs with her back pressed against the wall.
Stay here.
She turns to watch as Jim walks upstairs, holding the gun out in front of him. Shadows play against the walls of the dark house as Jim slowly climbs to the second floor. Chris follows close behind, her brown eyes wide. Jim walks down the hall, stopping in front of the closed bedroom door. He opens the door, peers inside, and switches on the light. Closet doors are open, and clothes are scattered everywhere. Jim leans back against the door, and Chris steps past him into the room. A lampshade is torn and turned over, and the lamp lies broken on a bureau. Chris picks up a ripped nightgown and clutches it to her chest, then lets it drop to the floor. Her mouth hangs open, and she shakes her head. Chris bends down and picks up a framed photo of her with her arms around Jim. The glass is shattered and her face is scratched out of the photo. Jim moves toward her. She walks away from him, shaking her head and sobbing. He turns around and takes her in his arms. Trembling, she hugs him close.
I'm so sorry.
Fade to black. Now Officer Caldwell examines the ruined photo. She turns to Chris.
Where's your husband?
I don't know. Outside.
How long were you guys gone from the house?
I left just a few minutes after he did, and we were gone about an hour.
Good thing, huh?
Chris turns away. The detective walks over to a nightstand and pulls open the drawer. She finds Jim's gun.
Do you have a license for this?
My husband does.
Have you ever seen her?
No.
Have you ever talked to her?
No. She usually calls when I'm out. Or I suspect she does. I don't really know. He said she called in the car once. And sometimes his line rings and I pick it up and no one's there.
But nothing like this ever happened before. Nothing violent, huh?
I think everything she does is violent. But no, she's never broken into my home before and ripped up my clothes, if that's what you're talking about.
I know that this must be very hard for you.
It's just when I think it's over and something else happens.
Are you sure that he's having an affair and that it's continuing?
If you have a better explanation, I would really love to hear that.
Later, Officer Caldwell steps outside where Jim stands, leaning against the Thunderbird. He stares at the ground and strokes his chin. Jim looks up as Officer Caldwell approaches.
Maybe we should talk man to man, huh?
She moves next to him.
Why don't you tell me how you met her?
Jim glares at her, then turns away, shaking his head, his arms folded across his chest.
It'd be better if you just tell the truth and we take it from there.
Man to man?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this woman, and I haven't done anything wrong. So why don't you get off my case, do your job, and find her?
That's a good idea. But I know one thing. Your wife is afraid. I don't know if she's afraid of you, or this other woman, or both of you. But she's afraid.
So what are you saying?
Sometimes in situations like this, people get some crazy ideas.
Caldwell walks back into the house. Jim turns to watch as she climbs the porch and walks in the front door. Now, Chris takes a bottle marked non-aspirin pain reliever from a medicine cabinet. She reads the label, then glances up at her reflection in the mirror. Chris pours some pills into her hand, pops them into her mouth, then washes them down with a glass of water. Now at Tiny's, Jim walks over to the bar where Connie opens a beer and sets it down in front of a customer.
Where you been lately, good looking?
Been around. Listen, Ellie, you know the girl with the books. You know where she lives?
Tiny doesn't think. Why?
There's nothing to think.
Now Jim knocks on the door. He turns away, then looks down, setting his jaw. He pounds on the door with an open palm.
Open the door, damn it!
Who is it?
You know damn well who it is. Now open the damn door!
Ellie pulls the door open.
Well, what are you doing here?
Oh, boy, you are some piece of work, you know that? You've gone one step too far this time. Now I want you to stay out of our life!
Hunter appears in the doorway.
Come on, Jim, take it easy.
Jim stares up at him, then turns and walks away. Hunter chases him down the front path.
Oh, man, I told you it wasn't her. I told you.
Well, who the hell is it then, huh? Who is it?
I don't know.
Now in a hospital.
It's an allergic reaction. I need it.
Chris lies on a gurney. Lynn and Sonny follow behind.
You people have to wait here.
Hospital staff push the gurney away, and a glass door slides shut in front of Lynn and Sonny.
It's okay, babe. She's going to be okay.
Chris, is she all right?
We think so. They're doing everything they can.
Chris!
She turns to look at Jim.
Where the hell were you? Why weren't you there?
Listen, don't you think he's got enough to worry about?
He doesn't even care about her.
Lynn? Look, you're not going to let us in, okay? We can't do anything else. Let's go get some coffee. Come on.
Sonny leads Jim away. In the operating room, Chris stares up at the ceiling, an oxygen mask over her nose and mouth. Later, in the waiting room, Sonny carries a cup of coffee over to Jim.
Gonna be all right.
Where was she?
Upstairs, in the house. She couldn't breathe. Where were you, man?
Jim looks away.
I was out.
Listen, you gotta fix this thing, buddy. You gotta do the right thing.
Just what would that be, Sonny?
Hey, man, I'm on your side here. Listen, there have been times when I've been out on the job and I've got my wrench stuck in somebody's pipe, you know what I mean?
You know what, Sonny? You can take your wrench.
Are you Jim Lansford?
The doctor.
Yes. Your wife is going to be fine. However, she is allergic to aspirin. Apparently, she'd taken 15 to 20 grains.
This is crazy. She knows she's allergic to aspirin. She never takes this stuff. She takes those substitutes. We don't even keep it in the house. Tell them, Lynn.
She stares at Jim.
I want to see her.
She's asleep right now, and what I'd like to do is keep her overnight for observation.
Now Chris sits across from another woman.
I always thought I was all he wanted. Maybe just because he was everything I ever wanted. We were always together. It would never occur to either one of us to go off alone. People talk about needing time to themselves. We were never like that. I always wanted to do everything with him. And all these years, I thought that he felt the same way about me. That he loved me as much as I loved him. Could I have been that wrong?
She gapes, her brow furrowed.
Well, what do you think?
Later, Jim sits with the same woman.
Well, she didn't try to do anything to herself. It was an accident. I don't know how it happened. Look, I don't know how much she told you about what's going on, but... Well, we're kind of in the middle of something bad right now.
She told me about this other woman.
I mean, I tried everything I can to get rid of her. I tried threatening her. I tried being a little more understanding of her situation, whatever that is. But I mean, when you've done everything you can, what else do you do? Chris won't believe me. I mean,
Maybe you could tell me what to say to her. How do you prove that you haven't done something?
Well, what if she were saying to you what you're saying to her? What if she were the one with the admirer? Would you believe her?
Are you hearing what I'm saying? I didn't do anything. There's nothing going on here.
Do you love your wife?
Yes, of course I do.
Well, if this continues, you're going to lose her.
Later at home, Chris studies a handful of pills.
This is aspirin.
She stares off. Jim walks into the bathroom.
Oh, sorry.
She looks up.
Are you all right? What's that?
Chris holds the tablets out to him.
You did this?
What, you think that I put...
Somebody did it!
She throws the pills.
Well, are you out of your mind? She must have done it when she broke in here.
How did she know I was allergic to aspirin?
I don't know, but she tapped into our phone record somehow.
Don't touch me.
I don't know how she knows half the stuff she knows. Chris, you can't keep running out on us!
Now, outside Riverwoods Inn, large trees shade the lawn where Chris sits in her parked car with the top down. Wearing dark lipstick and sunglasses, she stares at the entrance. Chris turns to look at herself in the rearview mirror. She takes off the glasses and stares at the reflection of her eyes. Her manicured eyebrows arch playfully over deep brown eyes. Chris rubs her fingers along her cheekbones, then looks away. Her eyes soften and her hands fall from her face. Later inside, a woman with bright red lipstick sits at the bar with a martini. She raises an olive to her mouth and bites into it, sliding it off the plastic pick with her teeth. In her other hand, she holds a phone to her ear, a diamond bracelet slid high on her arm. Long, dark red hair hangs past her shoulders, where the straps of a black cocktail dress crisscross. She puts down the phone and holds out a cigarette, then leans forward as the bartender lights it for her. The woman takes a sip from her drink and turns. It's Chris, wearing a wig and heavy makeup.
Slow evening, isn't it?
Gold earrings glint on her earlobes as she takes a long drag from her cigarette. Faint black. Now in her bedroom, Chris ties her shoe.
Well, we're on our way. Call you when I get home.
Is she gonna be okay?
I'm fine. I'm just fine.
Here. Pretty earrings.
Where'd you find those?
On the bathroom floor.
What are you doing? What do you mean?
Well, you're wearing makeup. It's all smudged.
Chris looks in a mirror.
You went out last night, didn't you?
Holding a hand to her eye, Chris smiles up at her sister.
Honey, listen. You don't have to change. He does.
They hug.
Thanks for coming.
I love you.
No, what a bank.
I don't understand. There's no way that my credit card could be maxed out. I got all the records.
That's only for one account.
Well, that's all we've got.
No, there are two accounts.
What do you mean there are two accounts? I never opened up another one, and we only get statements for one.
That's because the bills and purchase records for the second card are sent to a post office box, Southport, box 911.
Oh, there's something wrong here. I got one card, one account. My name's on my card, my wife's name's on hers, but it's only one account.
There's another card issued in the name of Lauren Alexander. I remember I did the paperwork myself.
Lauren Alexander? Who authorized it?
Your wife. I assume that's her maiden name.
This isn't my wife's handwriting.
Excuse me?
Well, didn't you ask for ID?
Of course. There was a driver's license, I believe, and she had all of the pertinent numbers and information.
What'd she look like?
Your wife?
Yeah, well, what did she look like?
She was young, pretty classy, if I may say so. Elegant.
Is that her?
Jim shows him Chris's picture.
No, that's not her. What's going on here, Mr. Lansford? I mean, if something's...
I'll deal with it myself.
Jim turns to walk away. He stops, looking up, and sees a woman staring at him. Another walks past, her eyes focused on his face. Jim stares at two women on the escalator. He glances over at another woman, who nods her head at him. Jim blinks his eyes and shakes his head, then walks away. Now a blonde woman walks into the diner. Hunter and Jim sit at the counter.
Said she was classy, young, kind of elegant.
Hell, that could be anybody.
Hunter smiles over at the woman.
No, it couldn't be anybody. It has to be someone who had access to my personal records. The guy at the bank said that she had my social security number, my other bank card numbers, my auto registration number. Maybe somebody at work, someone in the office. I mean, that stuff's all on file, isn't it?
Who? Runway Jack? I mean, he's young, but I don't think anybody'd say he was elegant.
Oh, that's very funny.
I'm sorry. Okay,
Jean.
No way.
Well, she was at the restaurant that night.
Get a grip. I mean, it's a nice fantasy. It's one I've had my son from time to time. But, Jim, she's not nuts.
I guess you're right. And you realize what this means. I've been paying for my own seduction. And she's put us through hell. We've had to pay for it. Oh, man, this is getting too weird. When Chris is starting to wig out, I can hardly tell her anything.
At the house, Chris pulls weeds in the front yard. Her face is haggard as she works in the dirt. Jim walks over.
Hey. Need some help?
She stares down at the ground, violently tearing the weeds from the soil.
Listen, Chris. I want us out of here. I went over to Steve Ferguson. There's a job opening up in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Hunter can finish up here. The money isn't as good, but I don't care. I just want to get us out of here. I can go down there next week, find us a place to live. A couple weeks, you can come down.
She turns to him, glaring.
Oh, I see. You get a week alone with Lauren, I get stuck here.
What?
Or maybe something happens to me there. I don't know anybody in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Do you think I'm stupid?
Well, of course not. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that I don't want to drag you down there without knowing where we're going to find him, and especially after what happened here. Now, just give me 1 week.
Don't be surprised if I don't show up there in a week.
Now, what's the matter with you? Why are you acting like...
Hey!
What's the matter with you?
Chris pummels Jim with her fists. He grabs her around the waist, and they fall to the ground together. He holds her tight.
Let's just go, huh? Just the two of us. We'll go back home to Ohio. We'll just turn out the lights... Drive.
Would you do that?
Of course I would, baby. I love you.
Maybe I should just get out of the way.
Oh, don't say that. That's not what I want. Hey.
Chris looks up into his face. Jim smooths her hair. Chris sits up and they embrace. She rests her head on his shoulder.
We'll leave first thing in the morning, huh? We'll get away from this place. We'll get away from her.
Later at night, Jim walks downstairs dressed in cotton pajama bottoms. He shuts the front door and checks the lock, then turns off the porch light and switches off a lamp. He heads into the living room and turns off another lamp. Jim steps into his study. He checks the back door, then shuts off a lamp on top of a cabinet. Walking toward the door, he pauses at the fax machine and stares at a printout on the tray. He tears off the printout. Written in cursive, it reads, "Leave a window open downstairs." Jim crumples the paper and throws it away. Outside, a light from the lighthouse sweeps the night sky, and clouds pull away to reveal a full moon. Waves flicker on the surface of the ocean. Downstairs, wind blows through an open window and a shadow passes the door. Jim sits up in bed.
Chris?
Downstairs, Chris walks down the hall into a room. Jim hurries down the stairs and turns on a light. The front door is open. He looks outside.
Can't you just leave us alone? Is that what Jim wants? I want you to go!
Chris?
He walks to the living room.
Please. Go away!
The door slams shut.
Lauren? Chris!
Inside, Chris hauls the pistol out in front of her.
Chris! Open the door!
Oh.
Through the curtains, we watch as Chris moves around the room.
Chris!
Jim slams his shoulder against the door. Inside, Chris runs across the room. Her limp body falls to the ground, blood dripping from her left temple. Jim bursts into the room, shattering the door jamb. He staggers forward, then stops, staring down at Chris's body. He steps forward and falls to his knees beside her, his hands outstretched. As he leans over Chris's body, light from the lighthouse bathes him in a fiery glow. His face contorts painfully as he lifts Chris in his arms, staring down at her bloody face. Jim cradles her close to him and slowly rocks back and forth. Now he sits in the interrogation room, staring down at the backs of his hands. Officer Caldwell stands up.
Let's go.
You gonna arrest me?
You can go home, get your stuff. You just gotta stay out of there until we finish.
You're wasting your time out there. Right now, Lawrence Roll will be getting on a plane, getting out of here. You know something? If you're not going to go and find her, I am.
No, you're not. You're not going to do anything. I would love a reason to lock you up until I put all of this together. So if you're smart, you won't give me one. Now just go. You get the hell out of here.
In the hall, the photographer snaps Jim's picture.
This is not a headline for your rag. This is real. A woman is dead.
Hey, come on. Let's take it out of here. Come on.
Just go.
Officer Caldwell watches as Jim walks down the hall out of the police station. Fade to black. Now Jim dumps dozens of gift cards onto his bed. Caldwell looks on.
I saved all of them. Now you go to the florist, and you make them talk.
I went to the florist, and they don't know any more than that man at the bank. A vague description.
You listen to me. She is real, and she's out there, and you find her!
You go, you get your stuff, and you leave. Because none of this is doing anybody any good. Okay?
Jim grabs a bag, then walks out. The uniformed officer enters.
We found something downstairs.
Later, Caldwell follows the officer into Jim's study. He points under the desk.
Check it out.
The tape recorder.
What do we have here, huh?
Now at the diner.
Yeah.
They won't let me stay in there to get anything I can work with. There must be something I missed, some clue.
They're working on it.
Well, they're not working on anything. They think I did it. Like I sent myself that fax, too.
What fax?
That night I got a fax that said leave a window open.
That's weird.
I went around, I looked at all the doors and windows. Everything was locked up tight. So it looks like I let her in.
If they thought you did it, they never would have let you out. You're not going to charge us, and don't worry about it.
I don't care about being charged. I don't give a damn about myself. She killed my wife, Hunter. She killed Chris. Lost Chris.
It's gonna be all right. We will figure this out.
Hey, babe.
Jim gives her a half smile.
It's good to see you.
She puts a hand on his shoulder, then walks away. Jim turns to Hunter.
Every time I see somebody now, I think, is that her?
We'll find her.
Hey.
Officer Caldwell.
I made copies of the cards and the tapes.
Tapes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's two tapes here. She only sent one.
I know. Chris was making tapes of the calls on your line. So maybe you can figure out some. You let me know, okay?
Jim gazes down at the cassette in his hand. Later, at a hotel, he lies in bed. A tape player sits beside him.
I kept thinking of you all day today. How hot the other night was. Your hands moving across me. Oh, your hands. That's what I'm thinking of right now.
He turns off the tape player, then plays a handheld machine.
Miss me?
I was waiting for you to call.
Really? I went to New York for the weekend. You know, get a little culture.
Now in Jim's study, Officer Caldwell listens to the tape.
I just looked out at the lights, took a walk in the park, thought a lot about us. I've come to some conclusions. Chris has to go.
Well, maybe we should meet somewhere.
I've been patient. No one can accuse me of not being patient.
In Jim's hotel room, gift cards are scattered on the floor.
You haven't left her.
He rewinds the tape.
Afraid she's listening in. But you haven't done what you said you'd do, Jim. You haven't left her. You haven't left her. Chris. She's such a little mouse.
In the study, Caldwell looks through the garbage near the fax machine. She unfolds the page from the night Chris was killed, which reads, "Leave a window open downstairs."
Okay. Where do you want to meet, Jim? Where do you want me to pick?
Just tell me where.
Now, in the dining room of the Riverwoods Inn, the crystal pendants on the chandelier sway in the breeze. Jim walks in and sits at the bar. The bartender drops a cocktail napkin in front of him.
What'll it be?
You got a phone?
Yeah, there's a payphone back next to the restaurant.
No, I mean a phone here at the bar.
Well, yeah, there's a bar phone. But
what? It's only for special customers.
Yeah. Do you want a drink?
Yeah, give me an old fashioned.
The bartender puts the phone on the bar in front of Jim.
Go ahead and use it if you want.
Jim eyes the crystal chandelier as it sways in the breeze.
There's a woman comes in here sometimes, standing at this end of the bar, uses the phone. Her name's Lauren.
No. Doesn't ring a bell.
Jim takes some money from his wallet and holds it out in front of him.
Look. I know she comes in here. She sits down right here. Now, when was the last time you saw her?
The bartender glances around furtively.
I didn't say that I ever saw her.
Jim holds up the money.
When was it?
The bartender glances around again.
Look, I don't want to get involved.
You're going to get involved in this now! Tell me who she is!
Now, in the study, Caldwell looks at the dateline on another fax.
Well, we've got some trouble. Husband's out at Riverwoods Inn trying to push some people around. Something in the T-Bird you need to take a look at.
Okay, well, let's go.
At the restaurant, an officer stands across from Jim.
It's not fair. I have a right to know.
Okay, I got it.
He knows who Lauren is, but he won't tell.
Down.
Caldwell motions and Jim takes a seat.
Are you the bartender?
Yes.
Okay, I'll ask you a question.
She holds out some photos.
Is this her?
No, that's...
Wait a minute, what's that? Let me see that.
A picture of Jim and Chris.
What, are you out of your mind? I mean, come on, I mean, this is...
I want you to let me do my job.
This is her? Who?
Jim grabs the picture from him.
Well, what are you trying to do here? I mean, come on, this is totally insane. I mean, this...
I know.
She pushes him into a seat.
How long has she been coming in?
Couple months. I don't get it. What's going on?
Did she go sit at the bar?
Yeah, same spot. She talked on the phone and thought. Look, she didn't fool around. Guys would hit on her, but she had a boyfriend, the guy on the phone.
Jim studies the picture. Chris, with long, dark hair.
This is from 10 years ago.
Now, outside the house.
The shrink says she was a multiple personality. Listen, we found things in her car. A cocktail dress, expensive jewelry, a wig. It was a completely different look.
It wasn't Chris. I talked to this woman. I talked to her over and over again. You think I don't know my own wife's voice? It wasn't Chris.
It was a part of her. She had a different voice. She had different clothes. She had different handwriting. We found credit cards and a passport. The doc said that she could have been left-handed. I mean, that's what threw us off, was the wound to the left temple.
I don't buy it.
I saw the fax leave the window open. It did not have an ID line on the top. Chris must have written it out and then made a copy of it on the fax machine. Or Lauren did.
It's wrong. That means she killed herself.
I don't know. Is that what you call it?
I'll never believe this. You can't make me believe this.
You
find Lauren. You go out there and you do your damn job and you find her. Just find her.
I am sorry. I am so sorry.
Officer Caldwell gets up and walks away. Jim stares out toward the water, his shoulders slumped. He blinks back tears as the wind ruffles his brown hair. He looks down at his hands and sighs. Later, inside, he listens to the tape.
I talked to her the other day. I told her all about Paris. How we're gonna go as soon as she gets out of the picture.
Why are you doing this to us?
Well, I just want us to be together, that's all. Like it used to be.
Jim puts the tape recorder on his desk, then takes his jacket and walks to the door. He stands in the doorway listening.
What did Chris say? Oh, when you said that thing about getting out of the way.
Let's talk about us.
He leaves.
No, you need to tell me what she said.
What do you think?
Outside, Jim gets into his SUV and drives away.
That she needs you. That she can't live without you. She said I'm never gonna have you. But she's wrong.
Words appear. Mental health experts concluded that Chris Lansford suffered from multiple personality disorder. The appearance of Lauren was triggered by Chris's first and only separation from her husband. Jim returned to his home state. He still has trouble believing the experts' explanation. Fade to black.